Great at Work. How top performers do less, work better, and achieve more. By Morten T. Hansen. The secrets to great performance. The phrase, work smarter, not harder, has become a cliche. Many people don't know how to work smart. The real key to individual performance is the 7 work smarter practices. You can start small and build them up until they become your habits. 1. Do less, then obsess. There's a common belief that by taking on more tasks, we accomplish more and improve our performance. However, the more items we attend to, the less time we can allot to each, and the less we will be able to perform on any of them. How can you do less but obsess? First, slicing and dicing. Instead of asking how many tasks you can tackle given your working hours, ask how many you can ditch given what you must do to excel. The second is tie yourself to the mast. Seal yourself off from any distractions, computers, internet, instant messaging applications, and others. The third is to say no to your boss. Make it clear to your boss that you're not trying to slack off. You're prioritizing because you want to dedicate all your effort to excelling in a few areas. 2. Redesign your work. When a high school principal realized that the students weren't paying attention to their homework or passing exams, they were busy taking care of their younger siblings. He redesigned the way teaching was done. He recorded lectures and put videos on the internet to be accessed by the students, who showed better performances with a few months. There are 2 practical tips for how to redesign where you work. The first is to hunt for pain points. What do people complain about again and again? You can create a tremendous value in your job if you spot and help colleagues, customers, and suppliers alleviate their most significant grievances. 2. Ask stupid questions. Ask why things are the way they are, and whether there's a better way. Ask stupid why questions, like, why do kids have 2 months of summer vacation from school? Follow that by crafting some what-if questions that may help you redesign. What if kids only had 1 month of vacation, and another month of community service? 3. Don't just learn, loop. Dan McLaughlin quit his job and devoted himself to becoming a professional golfer. Though he had never played a full round of the sport, he had learned that people can master a field with 10,000 hours of practice. 4 years and 5,200 hours later, he had already accomplished the extraordinary. Learning is a loop, where the learner measures his current performance and uses the feedback to modify it, over and over again. Here's how you do that. Crave out the 15. Devote only 15 minutes every day to achieve progress in one skill. Pick one and only one skill at a time to develop. Chunk it. To improving a skill, break into micro behaviors. A micro behavior is a small, concrete action you take on daily. Measure the soft. It's much more difficult to measure soft professional skills, such as listening in meetings or prioritizing a list of responsibilities. To solve this problem, you can measure micro behaviors associated with softer skills, as well as the result of those micro behaviors. Get nimble feedback and fast. Useful feedback requires more than a simple rating. It includes information about how well a person did and suggestions for how to modify behaviors. Dig the dip. Variation, trying new ideas, is essential to learning, and tackling different problems can provide rich learning opportunities. People who pursue the learning loop see their performance dip over the short term as they introduce challenges and experiment with ways to solve them. However, they realize gains over time. Confront the stall point. When people become good or even excellent in a certain skill, they stop seeking improvement, judging themselves good enough. Keep pushing and improving regardless of your past achievements to prevent yourself from falling into this trap. 4. P squared. Passion and purpose. Doing only what you love is bad advice. The best course is to strive to match passion with a strong sense of purpose, to aim for P squared. People who do so unleash a tremendous amount of energy they apply to every hour on their job. They don't work the most hours. They work smart by aiming for the most effective effort per hour of work. So, do you have to quit your job in a risky quest to search for passion? The answer is no. There are 3 steps to find and grow your passion and purpose while staying in your organization. 1. Hunt for a new role. Seek out a new role within your existing company to merge your passion with a strong sense of purpose. 2. Grow your circle of passion. Passion at work is an expanding circle that encompasses all six areas. The joy of doing the tasks, the excitement at succeeding, the thrill from unleashing one's creative energy, the enthusiasm from being with people at work, the delight from learning and growing, and the elation from doing one's job well. 3. Climb the purpose pyramid. The premise of the pyramid is that you should fulfill the first level before moving upward. The higher you climb, the stronger your sense of purpose will become. 5. Forceful champions. Don't rationally argue for your ideas. Compel others, including bosses, subordinates, partners, and others, to support you by developing two-punch maneuvers. First, inspire by evoking emotions in individuals whose support you need. Second, apply smart grit. Tailor and adjust your tactics in the face of opposition. How to inspire others. First, make them upset and excited. Foster both negative and positive emotions. Make them mad and fearful about the present, and joyful and excited about your proposed future goal. The second is to show it, don't just tell it. Use striking photos and demos to evoke intense emotions. Lastly, make them feel the purpose. Connect daily work to a broader purpose. Use the purpose to inspire other people so they will commit to your projects and goals. How to deploy smart grit. 1. Emphasize with your opponents. People's objections are reasonable if you only take the time to see the issue from their point of view. Put yourself in others' place. Figure out what their considerations are, and you can take steps to surmount them. 2. Confront or make concessions. To overcome opposition, emphasize with your opponents and confront them when needed, or make concessions you can live with. 3. Invite the opposition into your tent. When you can't bring yourself to concede anything, try turning your adversaries into allies, or as academics call it, co-opting them. 4. Mobilize people. Too many people try to get others to change by doing all the convincing themselves. It's better to enlist even just a few people to help convince others. 6. Fight and unite. A team's performance hinges on the quality of team meetings. We don't need a vast number of meetings. We need smarter meetings where people debate rigorously and commit to decisions. But how do we accomplish that? First, have one heck of a fight. To have a good fight in a team, bring people with more diverse backgrounds and viewpoints, and prioritize diversity over individual talent. The second is, make them feel safe. It's important to make people feel safe to speak up in meetings. The third is to prod the quiet to speak. Poke and prod those who are sitting there quietly to get the entire team involved in a meeting. 4. Speak up correctly. Don't show up behaving like an impartial academic. You're not there to sell your ideas. 5. Ask non-leading questions. People who crave to learn the truth about an issue don't ask leading questions. They ask open-ended questions, inquiries that don't convey an opinion or a bias. After your fight, you must unite. In teams that unite, team members commit to take decisions and work hard to implement the decision without second-guessing or undermining it. To improve team unity, try the following. First, make it fair, then commit. Make sure everyone on the team expresses their opinions and that people consider and discuss them. Then people will be more likely to commit to a decision, even if they disagree with it. 2. Confront the prima donna. Don't let a single disruptive person prevent the entire team from implementing a decision that has been well argued. 3. Sharpen the team goal. Think about how to sharpen your team's goal and make it the most important priority for everyone on the team. That way, team members will downplay their own selfish agendas and commit to the team's decisions. 7. The two sins of collaboration. Collaboration means working with people over whom you have no formal authority. Organizations and employees struggle with two sins: under-collaboration and over-collaboration. Some people talk too little across teams and departments, and some talk too much. To avoid the extremes, you can implement the following rules. The first rule is to establish a compelling "why do it" case for every proposed collaboration. Collaborated premium equals benefit of initiative minus opportunity costs minus collaboration costs. Calculate as best as you can the gain from collaborating. Consider both the benefits and the costs of collaborating. If the premium is positive, then collaboration is a go. If it's a negative, it's a no. The second rule is to craft a unifying goal that excites people so much that they subordinate their own selfish agendas. The goal is to evoke their emotions so they prioritize the goal of the collaboration over their own departmental agenda. The third goal is to reward people for collaboration results, not activities. When you reward activities, you get lots of collaboration activities. This leads to over-collaboration and people working long hours. What counts is the results. The fourth is to devote full resources, time, money, and skills to collaboration. To maximize your collaboration's chances of success, you need a forcing mechanism to assure that your collaboration receives sufficient time, effort, and financial support. Disciplined collaboration requires that participants make the necessary time commitments upfront. If you can't obtain full resources, reduce the scope of the project, extend the schedule, or kill the project. The fifth rule is that if you lack confidence in your partners, tailor trust boosters to solve specific trust problems quickly. Trust is people's confidence that their colleagues will deliver the high-quality work expected of them, on time and every time. First, you should understand why so little trust exists, and then you might deploy trust boosters, ask for a track record, get public commitment, or share personal information to improve the relationship. Small changes with big results. The seven work smarter practices don't just improve performance, they also improve people's well-being at work. Those who work smarter experience better work-life balance, higher job satisfaction, and less burnout. Tiny changes can yield big results, so start small.